In the Civil Rights Act of 1968, America does move forward. And the bell of freedom rings out a little louder.
This is A Little Louder, a podcast for wonks, housers, and rabble-rousers, where we talk about fair housing, community development, and how we can use these issues to build people power and work toward equity and justice. I'm Michael D. Bland. Today, we're talking about a property in San Antonio, where neighborhood residents have risen up to fight back against poor living conditions, and how this ties into making a moment into a movement. Bear Creek Apartments has been in the local headlines since February for what residents are enduring there. But the work organizing among neighborhood residents has been happening for a while before that. I'd like to introduce some of our guests today, Melody Herrera and Aggie Jaramillo. Welcome to the show.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
So why don't you both introduce yourselves and talk a little bit about your work with regard to organizing in San Antonio?
Well, my name is Aggie Jaramillo, and I'm the president from Los Puentes Neighborhood Association, which is a neighborhood association catty corner to the Bear Creek Apartments, very near there. And I'm also a community advocate.
My name is Melody Herrera, and I am from the Edgewood community, fourth generation. And I live in the Los Jardines neighborhood, not too far from the Bear Creek Apartments as well. And we like to stay involved and just knowing what's going on in the surrounding neighborhood. So, I mean, that's how we found out about the Bear Creek apartment situation in the news. Mm-hmm.
And, well, I found out about it really through a friend of mine that lived there about 3-4 years ago. And she was already having some issues with that particular facility, those apartments. And she had to move out. And I did want to say that this past Christmas, I was out there making deliveries for Christmas through the Edge Alliance and Club. And I noticed a bunch of traps out there. And one of the neighbors reached out, one of the residents said that they had an infestation of rodents and roaches. And that's how I found out about that, you know, what's going on in those apartments.
So, from first sort of hearing secondhand, what did you both discover the situation was like when you started to get involved firsthand? When did that work start, and what was the situation that you both personally encountered?
Well, we saw it. I saw it on the news. I believe it was early February. And then also we were made aware that some of the residents were going to be making a public comment at the city hall meeting, and it was on Valentine's Day. And I let Aggie know about it, and I told her it would be good for her to sign up and do public comment, because I've heard about what she said, that she saw the conditions and how they were unacceptable for our community members. So that's how we kind of got involved, just to go show support to the residents.
Yeah, that's how I got involved also. I went ahead and signed up for public comment, but I had spoken to numerous residents there. And a lot of residents did show up for public comment at City Hall.
And then living in the community, I mean, this has been going on for years, not just with this Bear Creek apartment, but other neighborhood conflicts we've also seen in the news, like Seven Oaks. And as a result of that, I mean, the city is trying to pass policy. I mean, recently they had the proactive inspection program that was passed last year. However, it's still like we need them to move faster to cite these owners.
I kind of feel we're at the bottom of the waiting list.
Yes.
Yeah.
In most situations, our side of town, it's often we feel like it's forgotten about. So we like to be the voice of those that fear talking sometimes, and because they fear retaliation.
Right. Yes. So when you were filing public comment and you met some of the residents who were doing the same, what was found in those public comments? What were some of the conditions that these folks are experiencing? I know you talked about some of the rodent and other kind of those kind of infestations, but what were some of the things that you had encountered?
Well, a couple of the residents said that the roaches were so bad that they were even crawling on them, and that they get up in the morning and they'd see all these rat droppings in the kitchen. Then the water, that there was a problem with the water going into their homes.
AC issues.
The
as
AC
well.
Issues. I mean, it's a lot of issues. It's not just the rodents, not the roaches, water going in. And, you know, some of these tenants were also very upset because basically it's like Melody says, they're afraid of retaliation. So they allow living under those conditions because of the hardship, because they don't want retaliation. They don't want to be evicted. And that's why we feel that somebody has to be a voice for them, because they're really afraid to speak up. Because apparently when they do go complain, a couple of days later, here's this little slip on their door, you know, that they're starting proceedings for eviction.
So you are seeing displacement whenever folks are attempting to better their own situation at this property.
Absolutely, yes.
Okay. So filed the public comment. What, that was maybe a couple months ago or a month or so ago. So what is the situation currently? Is this a campaign to raise awareness? Is this a campaign that you're working avenues through policy? What is the situation currently with your work?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think it's trying to get more people to be aware of the issue, and also, I mean, holding city departments accountable. I mean, I also did send an email to DSD and let them know we saw this on the news and it's unacceptable. And they agreed too. But I mean, they say that they are undergoing inspections and that they are being required to fix the issues. But even, I mean, as early as last week, we still hear residents saying that they've been out with AC for over 2 years. So,
wow.
I mean, it is a campaign of awareness.
And apparently some of these homes are subsidized by the city. So I mean, what is the city doing about this? And some of these tenants are paying full price, $1,000, you know, for a 3-bedroom home. That's a lot of money. And they're still living under these conditions. I really feel that nothing is really, really happening, because I'll be very honest with you. If this was happening in the north side, I think it would be addressed. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And that's the way I feel. I mean, I don't think that they're really, really addressing it. And it's probably because, you know, those units are in this side of town and because a lot of those are subsidized. But, you know, our residents have a right to live in a safe and healthy environment, not with rodents and roaches. And I mean, no. You have a lot of elderly people living in those homes. You have children of school-aged children. So, yeah, it's very sad.
So it seems like a lot of what we're hearing here is it seems that there's a slow to respond issue. Have you experienced any other sort of major roadblocks here? People sort of saying that this isn't an issue, or telling you no, or folks who are unwilling to meet with you, or is it just that they are delaying what amounts to housing justice?
Well, I honestly think some of the roadblocks is the cultural and the language barrier, you know, for one, you know, and I think we don't have enough people being proactive. We don't have enough people going up there and basically saying, this is happening. Like I said earlier, they don't want to stir the waters. They don't want to make any problems because they don't want to lose their homes, you know, and that's something that, you know, you can't force anybody to go up there and complain. So that's why I wish that they would just, you know, speak up and voice their concerns. So, and then, you know, and I'll be honest with you, you know, if you've got undocumented people living there in those residents, they for sure are not going to address this issue, these concerns.
You know, we talked about that. So you two are local organizers, but you aren't residents at the property specifically. But a lot of the residents there are from vulnerable communities who they fear retaliation, things like that. I would love to know who else is involved besides tenants to collaborate on this issue. It seems like it's a community-wide issue.
I know that a top organization was helping the residents to speak up. And I'm also the Texas Housers is also, I mean, they were the ones that let us know specifically about certain issues. Suzanne Baker was really good at making us aware of what's going on in the area. And also, I think city council, District 5, I mean, they're aware of what's going on and trying to speed up the process as far as code enforcement to address these issues.
With the sort of, you have some, obviously the tenants who are number one, which is really great that they're leading the charge. You have some community members with you. You have some organizations with you, and then even some local policymakers with you. With all those sort of powers in different areas, you know, what do you think the ultimate goal is here? Is it to, you know, make this place the kind of place that is safe and decent and dignified that they wish to live? Do some people wish to move somewhere else? Like, what have the tenants sort of described their goal is?
I think they want to be able to live there, but also make sure that it's in livable conditions for themselves, for their health. And I think if it's not, then they should be given the opportunity to go somewhere else affordable while all of these issues are being corrected.
Yeah, and I feel that management needs to be accountable for what's going on at these units. And if it takes them having to move these residents out to fix those, you know, to take care of these problems, whether it's the AC, whether it's the rodents, whatever, they have to do a very extensive extermination. I don't know, but they need to allow for them to move out temporarily somewhere, and they need to take care of paying those costs, because what's happening there is not the residents' fault. It is the management. They have not been responsible to address these concerns. And I mean, this is very scary. Because, I mean, God forbid that, you know, if they're living under these unsafe, unhealthy conditions, you know, these children can get ill. These elderly people can get ill by smelling, you know, the rat droppings smell, even though you clean it. You know, if there's rodents living in your home, there's a stink to it. There's a smell.
You have all these things on your side, and, you know, it's so crucial that with unsanitary housing like this, that it gets repaired or committed to the residents, that it will be rectified as soon as possible. It doesn't seem like that's happening. So I would ask, you know, what do you feel like you're missing in terms of getting to where you want to go?
I think it is sometimes, I mean, maybe elected officials not wanting to get involved in the issue. If they were more supportive, I mean, maybe they would get it to move faster and not allow things like this to happen in the first place.
Yeah.
I mean, creating laws in the federal level.
The way it works is, you know, you have to contact your department, and that department has to, from what I understand, you have to do a work order. Then they have to schedule the work order. It's like, come on, you know, it's not happening quick enough. And if this has been happening already, not really since February, since before that, 4 years, that's what I understand. But now it's being addressed. Still, I mean, there is no urgency to this. And they need to really move on it. They need to move on it. They need to clean up those units. They need to make it safe and clean. And we don't want to displace. We don't want displacement. We don't, you know, people are already used to living in those apartments. They don't want to leave.
The PAIP, it's supposed to sort of work in a way where the sort of offending properties almost put in like a probationary period until they have the opportunity to fix something, and then sort of more punishment could come if they don't repair or remedy those issues. Are residents aware of what happens during the PAIP process, or is that just through sort of like local politicians?
I think it's just local politicians. I don't think the tenants themselves are aware. I mean, I think that they do need to be made aware. So I'm pretty sure this is not only happening there in our, it's happening all over, and just some go on and report it.
Actually, that leads me to my next question, which is, you know, you mentioned a few other properties that have sort of been notably sort of trouble properties, like Seven Oaks, for example, is another one. How would you want to grow this kind of, you know, resident-led groundswell outside of this particular complex at Bear Creek? What would you like to see happen at other complexes that are also experiencing similar issues of disrepair, or they are somehow unsanitary or unsafe?
I think that there's a power in numbers. So I think that they should consider, I mean, doing a tenants union, just so they, I mean, that they show the number and power in numbers, so that they have a voice. And I think that would be good, or just reaching out or being able for them to know that there's other people on outside communities that have gone through similar situations, or maybe could offer some advice for them. It's just a matter of asking for the help.
And I think maybe educating. I know that a lot of our residents do not know their rights, you know, as tenants. And even though I know that it's out there more, but I think every tenant should receive something when they move into to a unit. I don't know if that's happening, but they need to receive, you know, information on their rights, and what they can do and who they can call. And they should be able to call and actually call anonymously. You know, just like sometimes when you want to report something, you know, and they say you can do it anonymously. Well, they should be able to report it, you know, anonymously and not leave their name.
Tenant rights is an important issue, but also in our community, I mean, we also care about homeowners. And I know that there's something coming up. Just last month, we attended another neighborhood association meeting at the Thompson neighborhood, and they were meeting with the city in regards to a retention pond that they want to possibly build, but that would cause, depending on the plan that they go with, it would cause displacement of some residents.
One of the concerns I have is that we do have some vacant lots that they've been purchased by developers, and they are building some homes, you know, for those homeowners that do want to buy a home. We've got homes being built, but they're not affordable. I mean, when you have homes that are $250,000, $280,000, that is not considered affordable to our residents, to our community. So I would like to see some assistance with that, either through the city or through the county, because a lot of these families are first-time buyers, but they cannot afford, you know, a payment so high. You know, you've got families that are having to pay, you know, half of their salary to go for a mortgage payment. So I want my community to grow. I want to see a lot of homeowners, but it's going to be hard with, you know, the way it's set up right now.
How can people find out more about some of the things that you're working on? Like, how do they follow what's going on at Bear Creek, and maybe how can they join up and work with y'all?
Well, I guess a lot of it is by word of mouth, by social media, because it's like Melody says, you know, if you have the numbers, you know, you have a stronger voice.
Yeah, and I think also just reaching out to Texas Housers and just reading what's going on in the news. I mean, they'll find out who's involved and organizations. I think it is a good to collaborate. So definitely they can reach out to us. Aggie's on Facebook, and she's always posting items on there too, on what she's working at and what meetings she's going to. So definitely the more people we have that are aware of these issues, it'll help.
Yeah, the more residents, the more organizations. You know, it would be nice if we could get more organizations, more nonprofits, more, you know, groups out there, you know, to kind of work together as a team.
Well, I'll definitely be sure to leave how to contact Texas Housers, certainly in San Antonio, if you're interested in this issue. But I think that's going to do it for this episode. I want to thank you so much, Aggie Melody, for joining the show today.
Thank you, Michael. We appreciate
it. Thank you so much, sir.
Have a good one.
Okay, and JT Harrichmack, as usual, will play us out. Until next time, bye for now.
Bye.